You might want to mark a place. No, you definitely want to mark a place in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. We'll continue in the birthday series of Jesus Christ, where He had the birthday and we got the gift. Luke chapter 2. I'm going to preach about for the most part, the ministry of Jesus Christ and the administering of Jesus Christ this morning. I was thinking about, I don't want to draw a comparison. Well, I do, but I don't want y'all to think weird of it. Just a couple of few days ago, there was footage on TV where they were shipping out the vaccine for the coronavirus. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but there were lots and lots of trucks, UPS trucks and things like that pulling out, and they were taking the vaccine. And don't meet me at the church to tell me about vaccines, whether they're good or bad. It's not my point. My point is that to some people that was a great hope, right? That is to a lot of people who are struggling to function. So they looked at it, and I started thinking about the vaccine. All it is the antibodies or a little bit of the disease, which would help you get the antibodies to have a little bit of the cure, right, to keep you from getting it. And I thought about, wow, this is just like Jesus. He was administered because we had a sickness that we couldn't heal, right? There was a sin sickness that we couldn't heal, we couldn't fix, and God dispensed Jesus, amen? And I don't know about vaccines, don't know how they work or how they don't work, but I do know one thing, Jesus heals sin sickness, amen? He heals it. Amen. He covers it. Amen. And I like how it said He became sin who knew no sin. Amen. That means He became the illness. There's a chapter, it's John chapter 3, where it says, and he was lifted up like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, right? Well, what did Moses lift up? He lifted up a serpent. Why? Because the serpent had bitten everybody, and they looked onto the serpent that had bit them. Well, guess what? When they lifted up Jesus, He had become sin. So guess what? He had become what bit us. Amen? Ain't y'all, man, I don't know about you. Sunday morning, there's only a handful of us in here this morning. If you can't get sideways this morning, you ain't never going to get sideways. If you ain't never going to worship out loud and be wild, then guess what? You ain't ever going to do it because you ain't going to hurt nobody, ain't going to bother nobody. You got 6 feet between each other. Man, you can do a little bit about everything this morning. I don't know if you planned to come to do that, but praise God, I did. Amen. I didn't just come to church this morning because I had to come. I wanted to come because I wanted to worship the Lord. And some of us, man, I'm going to be honest with you, if you were able to get up this morning and you came here, praise God, you might as well go ahead and turn it on and say, you know what, I'm here. Forget everything that's at home. Forget all the problems and the issues. And let's see what God wants to do with us. We've worshiped the Lord. I don't know about that, but can I just gouge you just a little bit? I don't know if we did. We should have. We had an opportunity. But we're going to get a word. Now what are we going to do with it after that, right? So let's look at it. I want y'all to look Luke chapter 2, and we're going to preach about the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's all the same. Pretty much. Chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days there was a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made with Cyrenius when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. And all went out to be taxed, everyone into his own city. I love that. You know what? At the time that the government of the whole world was wanting to take something, God was wanting to give something. The world was trying to figure out how much more they could take from you and how many people were they could take from you. And then God was in heaven going, I wonder what I could give them. Amen? Ain't that amazing? It's just a simple thing being taxed. It's a census and it's a taxation. Ain't it amazing God will take something ordinary and do something extraordinary with it? Some of us are sitting here right now in 2020 going, man, I wonder how things are going to work out. At this point in time, God's people were governed by a foreign country, by a foreign rule. Amen? And Caesar Augustus wasn't a nice man. They weren't nice people. They weren't people that were invading Israel and Jerusalem and going, man, how can we bless y'all? What they were doing is they were taxing them and they had a heavy thumb on them and they were saying, we are going to oppress you and keep you under our power and under our rule. And in the midst of that, God said, you know what? While that's going on, I'll just send my only begotten son who will save the whole world from sin. Some of you think, man, it's dark times. I don't know about you, but light shines dark best in darkness. Light should be showing out. We should be like a city on a hill. If you are a Christian at this time in your life, everybody should be going, hey, man. Hey, sis, can you tune it down? Can you turn it down? Can you kind of get that away from me? Because, man, you're just being a little too joyful, and I had a little too much peace and a little bit of happiness. Don't you know what's going on in this world? If you ain't got that, praise God, there's an altar for you. You can come and talk to him. Matter of fact, you ain't even got to get to the altar. All you got to do is say out of your mouth, God, help me where I'm at. Some of you sitting here this morning going, man, oh, it's so bad. So listen, I don't look at things like that. I look, you know what? God ain't never messed up. And if he was taking the children of Israel at this time and using his children at this time, then he'll use me at this time. And if it's normal stuff, if it's government stuff, then God can still work through government stuff. Amen? You better just prepare your mind. God's going to use me now just like he's going to use me in the good times. Some of us are sitting there counting on, we're going to get 4 more years of reprieve. We're going to get 4 more years of just man, blessing. You know what? I think sometimes God says, you know what? You rely too much on the things that you know instead of knowing me. Amen? I've been hooked up on this prayer thing for the last 3 or 4 days. God's got me on this new prayer regiment. You know what he said? I'm going to help y'all some. I'm going to preach everything I know this morning, so just buckle up. Amen? I love this. God got on to me. He showed me something. He's sitting there going, you know what, Kevin? It's not how you pray. It's not when you pray. It's not how long you pray. It's me you're praying to. Amen? Listen, I started thinking about this. I'm off message right now. Y'all just bear with me. Listen, watch this right here. I thought about this. You know what? When was your first prayer request? You probably don't know that. When was your first prayer request? I'll tell you when it was. You were about, I don't know, about a month old, maybe two. And you were hungry or you had made a mess. Amen? And God put some people over you that you couldn't talk to. And they couldn't talk to you. But somehow you let them know, I'm sending out an SOS. I've got a mess. And you're going to find out about it one way or another. But I'm going to try to let you know. I'm hungry. I'm going to send out an SOS. I'm hungry. There's this baby's crying, and I don't know what. I can't, and I don't know how mom talks, and I don't know how this dude right here talks, but I know one thing. I'm going to get their attention. And after a while, mothers, chime in anytime you want to. After a while, you start picking up. Oh, she's hungry. Oh, he's hungry. Oh, he's made a mess. Oh, he's teething. She's golly, y'all better start helping me out. That's your first prayer request. You were talking to somebody you really didn't know what need to talk to or know how to talk to. But you know what? You realized that they were over your life and you said, I think they can help me. That's you talking to God. Do you remember how you made the request? No, you don't. Do you remember how often you made the request? No, you don't. Did the parents respond when you made the request? Yeah. Normal good parents do. Amen? Can I ask you the same question? Now some of you are a little bit older. Some of you are. Do you still have your parents around? Do you talk to them? How do you talk to them? When do you talk to them? Whenever you want to. However you want to. As often as you want to. Amen? It's up to you. That's God. That's prayer. Some of y'all are sitting here, well, I don't spend 30 minutes in my closet. I didn't get on my hands and knees. I didn't hold my hands right. I didn't spend enough time. I'm just doing this right now. I'm just, every once in a while, throughout the day now, I'll just stop and say, God, man, I thank you. God, I thank you. I thank you for loving me when I was unlovable. I thank you for today. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my kids. I thank you for that roof over my head. Thank you for the job that I have. My God, you're good. And you know what I found out? The more I talk to him, the more he talks to me. The more I engage him, the more he engages me. Some of y'all are sitting there going, I don't know. I ain't heard God. You know why you ain't heard God? You engaged God. He's sitting on the other line going, you know what? I've opened up an access for you to talk to me anytime you want to, but you never make the call. I'm listening, I'm hearing, I'm watching, I'm seeing, but you won't make the call. You talk to everybody, but you won't talk to God. You complain to everybody, but you won't complain to God. You make your point known, but you don't make your point known to God. If you did, he would give you answers. Ooh. Man, how did I get there? I do that a lot. How did I get there? But they were on their way to being taxed And God was using that to get them to where they're going. Don't be surprised if God will move you around on some stuff that's inconvenient. Be careful that where you're going to point A to point B, that you don't miss the thing that God wants you to do. Sometimes we get too busy going to home or to church or to work that we forget to look around and see what God's doing. Amen? Let's go a little bit further, a little bit faster. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that they should be delivered. Can you believe Mary made a 90-mile trip, which takes about 4 to 7 days, while she was 9 months pregnant, probably on the back of a donkey? They could have went one way through Samaria, but it would have been dangerous and they would have been under threat for their lives. Or they went the hard way, which is over the mountains and the rough places. Amen? They probably went the rough way because, you know what? Nobody wants to drive through the bad part of the neighborhood on your way to where you're going. No, I'm sorry. I'll just go the rough way. So it probably took an extra day or two. She's tired. Everybody in her family said this when they were loading up. Amen? When Joseph was out there, and you know what? Joseph had already talked to her because that's what husbands do. Listen, honey, I can make the trip up to Bethlehem. I'll register you. I'll register Jesus. I mean, I got it. I got it figured out. And Mary's like, I don't think you can do it. Come on, why? Come on. You'll leave something out. You won't do everything. You'll leave one thing off the list to do. Never mind. So I'm going to have to go with you. And I really believe God wants me to go with you. I think that's just the way God is. And you know what? God didn't send an angel. God didn't send out a message. He didn't send some kind of Holy Spirit. He didn't send nothing. It's silent. Well, the Bible's silent. We need to be silent. She's in there. She's like, I just got an unction. Man, what happened to the church that had an unction? I'm just like a Holy Spirit nudge. I just feel like God's leading. I think God's pushing me. I don't hear that very much in the church anymore. I believe God's sending me. We should do, and we should think, and we should make this happen. But I don't hear, hey, God's pushing me. God's sending me. God wants me. You know what? When God wants you, when God sends you, guess what? It's easy. I can just see her, you know, and Joseph, you know, talked to her. They had to talk the night before, Charlie. They had to talk the night before, right? When he finally just surrendered. Sometimes a husband, you just got to surrender. Never mind. Y'all get it. So he's out there packing the donkey and getting everything ready. And the family gets involved. Oh, the family always gets involved when you're doing something for Jesus. And it's not always good. They come out, well, where are you going, Mary? Mary, where are you going? You're 9 months pregnant. You stay here with your sister and your mom. Let us take care of you. No, no, no. I believe God wants me to go. I believe when God wants me to go up to Bethlehem with my husband. I'm just going to go with him, and we're going. You know, it's going to be. You could have that child somewhere between here and there, and them wolves will get that. You know how that goes. You know how moms are. You know how family is. They just give you the worst. If you go into full time ministry, you're not going. Your kids are going to starve. Your family's going to stay. You're going to fall apart. You know what can happen. You know what kind of people live there. You know what kind of people you're going to be involved with. Every level of ministry I've ever been on, when I tell them what we're going to do, they look at you like you're like, you've got a good job and insurance and a house. What's wrong with you? You're crazy. Amen? But I believe God wants me to do it, and it don't look good. I know it don't look good, and it don't look convenient, and I know it looks dangerous. But you know what? I'd rather trust God and go into the dangerous area than trust myself and stay here where it don't seem dangerous. The most dangerous place there is for a Christian is in the comfortable place where God is not. Some of y'all have gotten real comfortable in the place where God is not, instead of going to where God wants you to go. Because you know what? You might lose that job. You might lose that security. You might lose those friends. You might even lose some of your family. Can you see them yet? Do you see them yet? I see Mary's family looking at them going, "They're man, small town Nazareth. There goes my child. There it goes. That's it. It's over." Has anybody ever had to say goodbye to a kid? Watch them drive down the driveway, turn left, turn right. Think, man, there ain't no way they're going to make it. Somehow God got you through all the stuff you went through, but those there, you can't handle your kids. Help me preach! Some of you here, man, you're so stale. Some of you in this building right now are waiting on your kids. Oh, God, yeah, I just don't know how they're going. God's got the same grace, same mercy, same love for you as he did them. And we're sitting here going, man, I don't think God's got, he don't have a clue, he can't get to Georgia. God can't get to Georgia? Man, some of y'all are saying, well, I just don't think he can make it. God can't reach Orlando. God can't reach California. God can't get, yeah. God can go into the deepest, darkest places with no problems. Amen? He can get into the good places too. God, some of y'all, he gets in good places too. Because you know what? Sometimes in life, you'll think you're doing good. And God will get in that too. God will roll up to you when you've got more money than you've ever had, a job you've had, oh, and you're blessed, and you're saying, well, my parents didn't know anything. They're so stupid. They're so dumb. Them and that church. Them and that preacher. He was stupid. But then all of a sudden, God will sit down and say, you know, that's more money you've ever had. That's a house you've never had. That's a car you've never had. That's a girl you've never had. That's a guy you've never had. But how hard, are you happy yet? No, I'm still feeling kind of empty. Still feeling kind of incomplete. Amen? I thought this was going to do it. Is there anybody else in here trying to fill that puzzle piece of life and thought you was going to fill it with something other than Jesus and it just wouldn't fit and it wouldn't stay and it wouldn't, I've crammed it in there. I've crammed, get in there! Pop back out. Or when people look at it, they go, it just looks weird. I don't fit there. I don't make the, she don't belong there. Oh, hey, she don't belong there. I'm going to be a little bit louder for y'all this morning because some of y'all are dead asleep. She don't fit in there. That just don't fit there. Can anybody ever testify that you try to put a person in the spot where God's supposed to be and they just didn't fit? They don't look good there. Everybody else knows it, but you don't. Golly, bum. You riding around with me, everybody's looking and go, that girl's crazy. Why's she got crazy train on? Amen? Don't worry, I'm going to come back around to it. Some of you girls are going, I ain't getting it. She's got crazy train too. Amen? That guy's an idiot. He can't work. He ain't got a job. You ever met one of them guys? How are y'all going to eat? How y'all going to survive? Amen? I don't see, he don't have a five-year plan. He ain't got a five-minute plan. Amen? You get a flat tire and the girl's changing it? Get out of the way, son. We're going to be here all night. It just don't fit. Well, let me tell you this. If you get Jesus in that place, he makes everything else fit. He makes everything else come together. And Jesus will take you places when you're going. Everybody will say you're foolish. But even, God, I wish y'all would help me preach this morning. It's kind of hard preaching by myself. Amen? I want to say this. When you're on the way and it should be miserable, it's the best times of your life. Has anybody ever been in here when you've had Jesus and you didn't have a whole lot of else, but praise God, those are some of the best times? Mary and Joseph, he's pulling it. Y'all got to get in Joseph's head. He's carrying Jesus. I mean, the Son of God, and he's on stepdad duty, man. I wonder if I'm going to be good enough. I wonder if I'm going to be smart enough. Man, this kid, as soon as he comes out, is going to be better than me. Amen? I hope I don't ruin this. I hope I don't mess this up on the way to Bethlehem. I hope we get there just enough time. I hope this works out. Carry it, just pulling that down. Come on. Through the rough spots, through the hard spots. And every time she has a issue, are you okay? Are you all right? Are you going to be okay? No, just keep pulling. Just keep going. And listen, and Mary's back there. But you know what? I bet if you ask him, what were the greatest times of your life? Remember that time we went to Bethlehem on the back of that little donkey? Some of y'all need to remember what it was like when you first got saved, when you first got married, when you first, golly bum. Somebody asked me one time, what's the best years of your life? Me and my wife used to have hot dogs and chili a lot. Somebody, you like hot dogs and chili a lot. No, that's about all we can afford. That's a good night. That's a good day. Amen? But you know what? Boy, them were some of the best times because you know what? We didn't have a whole lot, but we had some love and good old hot dogs. Y'all frown on them hot dogs, man. They're good when you're hungry. Amen? But you just see Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem on the back of that donkey, 90-something miles, 4 to 7 days, on the back of a donkey, 9 months pregnant. Man, and you're talking about, man, looking back. Man, weren't y'all scared? Weren't y'all in trouble? Yeah, we're kind of scared, but I knew Jesus was on board. Some of y'all need to get on board with Jesus' plan and go when he says to go anyway, despite how it looks or how it feels. Oh, well, the most important thing you can get is a good education. No, let me tell you something. The most important thing you can get is Jesus Christ, him crucified in your life. And guess what? He'll take care of the education. If he wants you educated, he'll get you educated. If he don't, he don't. Oh, never mind. I better get off that because some of y'all are looking at me like, man, you better not mess with my education. I ain't trying to mess with your education. I'm trying to mess with your faith. Some of y'all got more faith in the world system than you do God's system. Some of y'all want your kids to make it in the world, but you don't want them to make it in the kingdom. You want to do big world stuff and be able to take care. And that way they can live right down the street. And you can look at them and say, they did good and they made it. And you know what? You don't do that all the time. You're praying for them saying, I don't know if they're going to make it into heaven or not. I don't want my kids to make it in the world. I want them to make it in the kingdom. I want to look over an attorney, look over and say, they got a mansion right next to my mansion. Amen. They live on this street. Amen. That's the most important thing. And so it was while they were there, they're going to administer Jesus to the world. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Jesus did it on purpose. Don't think that's a mistake. Sometimes we think they're big mistakes. They didn't have enough room for it. They didn't do the right thing. They didn't. They should have just made. God should have just. If God wanted Jesus to be born in Taj Mahal, he would have been. If God wanted him on the inside, he would have been. If he wanted him on king's palaces and king's beds and king's sheets and king's servants, he would have. What he was doing is he's saying, I'm always going to make Jesus accessible to everybody. I'm going to have him born in a manger where anybody can come. Not everybody will, but everybody can. Amen? Some of y'all need to write that down as a note. Some of y'all say, man, why does Jesus keep sending me to the places where all the poor and all the weak and all the maimed and all? Because you know what? He'll put you in a place where everybody is accessible to you. Amen? Whew. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock. Why did he go get the shepherds? Shepherds stink. They smell like sheep. Amen? They do. They smell like sheep. They're outcasts. They're social outcasts. They're nomads. They don't have any. They're not invited to anything. But Jesus said, you know what? I can't find nobody else. I'll get the people that nobody else wants. Don't be surprised that people that nobody else wants, that's who you'll be ministering to. That's the people you'll be connected with. God will go out and get some people, and you're like, man, this is a ragtag bunch. Don't be surprised. It'll be like the cave of Adullam. David, who was in the king of he was going to be the future king, but his first, 400 or 500 people that he led was a bunch of misfits in a cave. You're going to be king, but you can't be king until you learn how to lead. Amen? So guess what he did? He put him in there with people who were bankrupt, people who were thieves, people who were discontent, some crazy. Golly, bum. I love pastoring some people with a little bit of crazy in them. Y'all should have said, amen, brother. That'd be us. I like that. Amen? Because I'm a little bit crazy. You got to be a little bit crazy to serve God. Amen? Some of y'all need to be a little bit more crazy serving God because guess what? He didn't save you to change you not to be radical for him. He wants you to be a little bit radical. He wants people to go, man, they kind of worry me a little bit. They seem like they act like Jesus can do everything. They think they go along like there's nothing impossible with Jesus because there isn't. Amen. All right, let's go a little bit further. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. What did that look like? It kind of looks like a miracle, doesn't it? And the angel said unto them, fear not. How is that possible? For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Could y'all imagine that? The shepherds, see, the shepherds in Bethlehem were the shepherds to the temple sheep. Amen? All the sheep that were raised around Bethlehem were going to the temple to be offered up for sacrifice. No better people to bring along, because guess what? They were going to be—they're about to be put out of business, right? Because of the sacrifice, the lamb, the shepherd—that he was coming. Amen. The shepherd was coming, but also the Lamb of God was coming. And they were standing out there. Could you imagine? No, it's not. It's not streetlight dark. It's dark, dark. It's so dark. Amen. They're out there. They got their sheep. They've closed them off, hedged them in for the night, and they're kind of laying before the gate. I'll preach everything I know right here. They put a hedge around their sheep every night. They build a hedge and briars and brush and things, and they hedge them in. And then guess what? They lay down in front of the door of the gate because guess what? They got to be the only way in and out because in the middle of the night, one of them sheep might just want to get out and do something and come back in real quick. Amen. I'll just get that later. You know, because some sheep are just can't make it through the whole night without waking up. So. They just want to go to the fridge and look in to see what's there. Whew, golly, I'm trying to help y'all smile. But the shepherd, he would open up the door. Go ahead, go out, and you better hurry back in here because there's some stuff out there in the dark that I can't see, and it will eat you, and I don't want to fight a wolf and a bear tonight. But go ahead and get you something. Get back in here. Take care of yourself. And y'all think that's crazy because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I'm the door. No man enter in me because he's a hedge, right? But he's also the door, and he's the access point. You can go in and out through him, amen? He's the only way into that, right? Into heaven, right? So that's Jesus. So he's going out to see, he's relating to the shepherds because that's who he is. He's a shepherd, but he's also a lamb. So he's trying to relate. So he's in the middle of the night. I mean, just like, could you imagine if the heavens opened up and all of a sudden an angel jumped out and said, hey, be of good cheer. Right? Be of good tidings. I bring good news. And all of a sudden a whole host shows up behind him and they start singing and praising. Man, come on, y'all got to be, man, you're out of your mind. This is third world country stuff, but they're in the middle of the desert, and all of a sudden they're looking up in heaven, and then I love how cool God is, because messengers, they're just messengers for God. They said, fear not. What? I can handle a coyote, a wolf, a bear, a lion, but how do you deal with that? How do you deal with a heavenly host? This kind of rocking our world. What do we do with this? You don't always know what you're going to do with it. And you know, ain't it cool how God does this? God goes to the people that nobody wants and nobody wants to visit, nobody wants to be around. And man, he could have went anywhere. He could have went to anywhere and got anybody, but he went out and got the shepherds, man. I'm glad God goes after people that really don't count to the world, but they count to him. Boy, I'm glad he does, because if you're one of those, you need to stick your hand up every once in a while and say, thank God he came after me instead of just leaving me where I was. I'm glad he came after me when nobody else would. We need one or two just worshipers who'll say, thank God he didn't leave me. Man, have you ever been that person that everybody else kind of put to the side? Said, I don't want them. But God said, I do. I do. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, Savior, amen, which is Christ the Lord. Verse 12, and it shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with him the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth and goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them in heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that had heard it wondered in all those things which were told to them by the shepherds. What's this right here? Can y'all just stay with me just for a few more seconds. They're in a manger. They're on the side. It's still dark. It's dark. Dark, 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 dark. And all of a sudden, one after another, they start hearing the bleeping of the sheep coming towards them. Wait a minute. What, did y'all hear that? Do you hear that? Mary, do you hear that? Joseph, do you hear that? No, over the cows and all, over the sheep in here, the camels. Do you hear something? This is like a rustling. Man, if y'all don't live in a country, y'all live in a country, right? Huh? You just go outside, you can hear a little bristle and everything. All of a sudden, just one out of the darkness, shepherd. I mean, the shepherds are nasty, man. Dirty. God, y'all see it. Guys see it. We see it. We see stuff. One pops out of the dark. Then another one. Then another one. Then another one. Shepherds who would never talk to each other, never be around each other, never bring their herds together, all of a sudden, one by one, are walking out to the manger and saying, is that the Christ? Is that the Christ? Mary and Joseph were thinking, nobody's recognizing Jesus. Nobody's here. Nobody's making a big deal about Jesus. Nobody's making a big deal about my son's birthday. Nobody's making a big deal. So God says, I'm making a big deal, and I'm bringing some people to the party. Listen, don't worry about the people. Don't worry about how it's going to come to pass. God will bring it to pass. Some of y'all worry too much. I'm saying, man, God's plan. If I don't do this, God's plan. If I don't do that, God's plan. Just be obedient. God will bring forth the plan. God will bring forth. He said he'll be born in Bethlehem in the Old Testament. He said he's going to come from a virgin in the Old Testament. He said. You know why? Because praise God, as long as you'll stay obedient, guess what? Next thing you know, you'll be a part of something bigger than you. I love when they show up. And guess what? It's so cool. They just made haste. They got up there and they worshiped God and they praised God. And then they left and they told everybody. Once they visited Jesus, they went and told everybody that Jesus was there. That's how you're supposed to do it. Amen? But as they came, they went away. As they came, they went away. I wonder if Mary and Joseph were just sitting there going, did you tell somebody? Did you tell anybody? No, God don't need you to tell everybody. He just needs you to represent and have Jesus. If you have Jesus, he'll send you the right people. Amen? No, that's the ministry of Jesus. I hope some of y'all are having the ministry of Jesus. But what happens when Jesus just shows up? Some of y'all just need to let him show up. Some of y'all just need to let Jesus out. Let your Jesus out on somebody. Share the gospel. Share your testimony. Share what God does. And guess what he does? Go real quick. Isaiah 9 and chapter 6. And guess what? We're going to be done right after this. I'm going to have Scott come up. We're going to worship our way out of this thing in a minute. But I want you to see this. This is who was born. That was how you do it. That's how you do the ministry of Christ. This is who was born. And I'm going to give you three of them. I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't get something out of this, you need to be on this altar, or you need to be praying where you're at, or you need to be seeking him after you leave here and say, God, let that be who you are in my life and for me. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto you a child is born, unto us a son is given. God bankrupted heaven for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's you. And that's when he did it right here. He mentions it in Isaiah chapter 9 as if it's already done. In Luke chapter 2, it was done. Amen. So guess what? You were given the Son of God. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. That means every bit of judgment and righteousness will be on his shoulders. He is the righteous judge. He is the one you will stand before at the end of your life. You will stand there and give an account for your life, whether good or bad, whether saved or unsaved. You will give an account. He has the government upon his shoulders. Some people have said this, don't judge me. Y'all ever said that? I did when I was lost. Don't you judge me. Listen, there's only one kind of judgment when it comes to God. He knows whether you're righteous or unrighteous. He knows whether you're saved or not saved. If the blood is not applied to your life, you will not get into the kingdom of God, period. When you stand before God, he is looking for one thing and one thing only. That is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And if you are not there, he will glorify himself in judgment and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. But if he sees the blood, hallelujah, praise God. I don't care if you got saved when you were 6 and you lived to 100. I don't care if you got saved when you were 9 and lived to you were 70. Praise God, if the blood's there and it remains, he will say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Let's spend eternity together. Kill the fatted calf. Let's dance. Let's party. Let's eat. Let's spend eternity together. Hallelujah. I don't know if it's all going to go down like that, but I hope so. Three things that he's called. He should be in your life. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counsel. Is he wonderful to you? Whew. He's the greatest thing I've got. That's the greatest thing I got is Jesus. He's wonderful. Counselor. Whew. How many of y'all need a counselor? He's the counsel for every need you have. When you're scared, when you're fearful, when you're angry, when you're mad, when you're hurt, when you're happy, when you're blessed, when you're up, when you're down, when you're in, when you're out, he's a wonderful counselor. I can't tell anybody, I tell people all the time, if you'll learn who Jesus is, he will meet you on every need. When I was a young kid, we had a little shaggy dog. I'd get mad at my brother, mad at my mom or dad, and I'd go somewhere and I'd just have a good fit. I'd probably hit the wall, do some other stuff, and I'd sit down and I'd be, come on, y'all. Bear with me. Man, have you been mad? All of a sudden, this stupid dog come over and just start looking in the face and loving him. Get out of here. Get out of here. Stupid dog, I'll beat you up. Get out of here. Keeps coming, keeps coming, keeps coming. Eventually, you start fitting. All right, stupid dog. And you start loving. Oh, man. That's God. In a simpler form. He'll keep coming, keep trying to rescue you, keep trying to counsel to you, keep on loving you, and he'll break down on the anger, the madness, the disappointment, the hurt, the happiness, the blessing. He'll break through it, and you'll be sitting there after a while. You'll be like, man, I don't even know what I was mad about. I didn't know what I was upset about. I didn't know what I was going to quit. I didn't know what I was going to start. I didn't know who I was upset with. I forgot, man, I forgot, because guess what? The love of God is a wonderful counselor, and I turned into him instead of turning into myself. Oh, my God, he's helped me again. Amen. God is a wonderful counselor. He'll work in 2020 just like he did in every year prior to this. If we'll turn to God instead of turning to ourselves. This one's good. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That mighty God has a military connotation to it. He is coming again. You must be ready. I don't know if you know this. Scott, come on. I don't know if you know this. But God is removing saint after saint after saint out of this world. There are some amazing, great people that God has brought out of this world just in the last couple of years. I want to tell you this. I believe God's up to something. I believe God is moving in a big way. I believe that we need, as the church, need to be sharing the gospel, sharing our testimony, and looking unto Jesus for His second coming. We, as a church, need to be prepared. We need to stop looking down but looking up. We need to look unto the eastern sky and say, God, if today You're coming back, praise God, I want You to find me doing the work that You have called me to do. You are going to return a mighty king, a conquering king, a warring king, a loving king, a king who comes back and says, it's my time, it's my world, it's mine. If you want to be a part of that, you need to absolutely say, God, I surrender all to You. Amen. You can be ready for a lot of things. 2021, a vaccine, a healing, or even hopefully that wild dream of getting back to normal. But what I look to is I'm hoping for the coming of Christ. I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to be ready. Are you? Is He your wonderful, counseling, and soon coming King? I hope so. Let's stand as they sing.